Also unmöglich.
Sorry, I had to slip downstairs to let the carer in, and it was a bit of an awkward time.
Well, don't worry, Dave. Very good time for you.
Yeah. What's next, then? Am I?
I've just invited you to give us a word of recitation.
Oh, thank you. I thought you might have, but I wasn't sure. right. Well, now, my dear brothers and sisters, I wanted to just spend a little time on really Joshua. And can everyone hear me? Is that all right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Spend a little time on Joshua. In Joshua, we've got the situation with these Gibeonites and what have you. And obviously they were a bit sneaky, shall we say, to say the least. And after that section in Joshua, for our readings for the next week or two, they seem to concentrate on the word inheritance. Inheritance is a word that's found over 50 times. In the 9 chapters from Joshua 13 to 21. And of course, they wanted their inheritance. The greedy ones who wanted a lot more than their inheritance. And there were those who are a bit sneaky, like the people we've read about. And I think personally just... as far as exhortations go, we wanted to think about what Joshua did. Joshua, Jesus, the one who was able to say he'd accomplished this and he'd accomplished that and he'd finished the work. It was very similar to the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of those words we can pick up are in essence like Jesus, he had finished the work you had given me to do. And in the 9th chapter, of course, there was the situation of Joshua. Now, we've got the situation where, what did he say, really? Was he greedy like some? The tribe of Dan, for instance, or the last tribe to receive its inheritance? Joshua 19. They felt they'd been slighted and they wanted a bit more, just a bit more than before. And of course, they were the first tribe to plunge into pagan idolatry, the Danites. But of course, they occupied what they thought was best and their hearts turned away from God. But Joshua was magnificent, wasn't he? And how different he was. He took no inheritance for himself until all the tribes had had their portions. And when his turn came, his request was a modest one, very modest one. We read they gave him the city that he asked for, even Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. He might have asked for an inheritance in the beautiful, fertile vale of Shechem. He could have done, he could have asked for that. He could also have asked for something near the mountains of Ebal and Gerizim. He could have asked for that. However, he asked for nothing of the kind, but for a spot on one of the highland hills of Ephraim, a place so obscure, there's no trace of it remains. It was described in Judges 2, verse 9. In the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill. Now, what sprung to my mind, on the north wall of the Eiger, you know, there's on the north wall. It was pretty bleak and pretty sleepy, the north wall. Anyway, the north side of the mountain, it doesn't indicate a very remarkable spot, does it? No, his choice was a splendid rebuke for those who wanted more, grumbling about their inheritance and selfishness. They wouldn't be content with the single lot, but wished to have an additional one assigned to them. Well, that's the thing for us, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ gave everything. And we find that, of course, there are verses mentioned in here that perhaps leads us to the emblems of our Master's sacrifice. Those verses are contained in this chapter that our brother has read. The Gibeonites want to make a treaty. Could this be a new law? Well, of course, we think about it. There's a mention of 3 days, isn't there, somewhere in the chapter, a mention of 3 days. They were woodcutters and water carriers. Does that show us something? And we pick up these little points here and gel them together. Because, of course, the assembly shouted for Christ to be killed, but in so doing actually anticipated in saving him and others from a certain future death. He brought light and immortality to light through the gospel. And that's what the godliness that Paul is talking about in his writing to Timothy. To preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. We have the echo of the water and the wood, the baptism of the burial of Christ, the burden of our sins and the wood cut to make the cross. We must live and always serve for the house of God. The Gibeonites ask for mercy. Mercy, yes, you found us out. We do live near to you. We don't live a long way away. We live near to you, yes, and we've been a bit tricky, haven't we? Yes. And they asked for mercy. And what did they do? The Joshua Jesus saved them, and they served at the place the Lord would choose. And that echoes, as I say, baptism, taking up their cross and following Christ. And we find that in later on, Samuel 21, we find Saul was punished for a period of 3 successive years, the duration of Christ's ministry, for putting the Gibeonites to death. But David sought to make amends, as they were to be protected. So all those things, of course, bring us nigh and bring us near to Christ, don't they? Well, that's a quick, very, very quick summary. I'm sorry it's quick, but we have a short time for recitation. Yes, we are sworn to them, and we can't touch them. We will let them live, lest their wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them. And the ruler said to them, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation that the rulers had promised them. So that's Joshua. And we move forward in our readings for the next week or two, for the actual inheritance of the land. So we have the inheritance, my dear brothers and sisters. There's been a lot of talk about inheritance, hasn't there, in the time that's been talked about. Recently in all the news, and every time there is one of these people from the Gaza Strip talking about who owns the land and who owns the land and it's our land and it's nothing to do with the Jews, and we don't want them inheriting any of this land because it's ours. And of course The verses we can read in Joshua 13-21, the importance of these words. The Lord was the sole owner of the land. the land was not to be sold permanently, for God had instructed them in Leviticus 25:23, because the land is mine. The land is mine. And you are but aliens and tenants. The rent God required was simply Israel's obedience to his law. Yes, those are the facts, aren't they, brothers and sisters? The Palestinians and the evil people who would kill them and wipe Israel out don't realize that God isn't there and the land is mine, says God. So, what a lovely theme we have, haven't we, in Timothy now. Let's just take a few minutes on Timothy and think about our inheritance and think about what the Apostle Paul had to say to his dear beloved son, his son Timothy in the faith, in asking him, Lystra or Derbe, we don't know where he was born, if he had a Gentile father, his mother and his grandmother, his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, of course, were there. And here he was to be a pastor, appointed a pastor in Ephesus. And the Apostle Paul here is giving us the beautiful thing that he wants his son Timothy to do. Chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Saviour and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus our Lord. No other doctrine. I urge you when I came into Macedonia that you charge you that they teach no other doctrine. He charges them. He has these things concerning doctrine. He charges them in each of the chapters, in the 4 and 5. And in the 6, guard, Timothy, what is committed to your trust. That's the 6th chapter. That's the 6th charging. We charge you to do this. Discipline. Observe the things without prejudice. How to treat widows. How to treat the elders. What to do in running and being a pastor in Ephesus. And then we have that lovely theme of godliness. And godliness. Godliness is reverence for God applied. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And the soundness and reliability of godliness in Christ's teaching, the great gain of godliness, the pursuit of godliness, the truth of godliness, the value of godliness in all things. And what a host of practical lessons that come out. We can't look at them all, can we not, but sisters, but those things are interesting, aren't they? Interesting in Psalm 20 and verse 5, just quote that, Psalm 20 verse 5, it talks about the banner, yes, and I think in a way we can link that to the banner, Psalm 20 verse 5, and it's a psalm of David. May remember all your offerings and accept your sacrifices. Grant to you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in our salvation in the name of God. We will set up our banners. And in a sense, that's being done, isn't it? In Timothy setting up the banners. What the bishops and the deacons and it's a bit hard on the widows and the old women, isn't it, with their prattling at times. So I'm not going to talk about that because we're all getting a bit old. The men do a lot of prattling as well, but it's the godliness that's the important thing. I was looking at my little book with an interpretational types and things. Solomon is a good form. We go to the banqueting house, and the banner of the meal is love. Yes, the love of Christ Jesus is in all these things, isn't it, brothers and sisters? But intimacy. I like this idea of the banner. I was quoting from scriptural outlines. He puts down this for the Timothy. It's very interesting regarding banners. You may smile, but it's quite good. Here we have it then, Ephesians. And you had this Paul's picture of a local church, our little ecclesias together, wherever they may be, Doncaster or Darlington or all the other ones. I found an old map in the charity shop, and I was looking, getting a little bit more aware of where these places are this week. And Paul's picture of and he says, over the entrance, it says, how to behave in the house of God. How to behave in the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. Over the rostrum or platform, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4:6. And the text, 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. And the theme for the invitation, godliness. So all those things spring together, don't they, my dear brothers and sisters, when we think of all that has been done for us, and we've opened our eyes, and we can see the hewers of wood and drawers of water. We can see the signs and elements of how God has drawn through things for an inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord for us. Not the law, but these wonderful promises through the baptism into Christ that we can inherit glory. There's a wonderful cluster of exhortations too in Timothy 4. It's advice to an envoy of Christ, the aim of spiritual exercise. In every town, of course, in Greece in that time, they had that word gymnasium. Gymnasium is the Greek word. And they loved to have exercise. It was part of their education. We are not an athlete of the gymnasium, but an athlete for God. Godliness. I looked up in Young's and Strong's, the word for godliness. They don't give very many, but the idea is systematically constant of reverence for God. And that is our exhortation this morning, thinking about what Joshua did, his reverence for God, his reverence to do exactly and to fulfill everything. It is finished, says Jesus. So we are an athlete for God. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 3:14. This is a great mystery. These things I write to you that I hope to come to you shortly. But if I delay, I write you that you may know that you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God. And of course we know where these verses originated from. They originate from Jacob as he ran from his house, and he went to Bethel, the place of Abraham's on the Trinity. And it was the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in flesh, his ministry. He was justified in the spirit, his resurrection. He was seen by angels in his ascension. He was preached among the Gentiles in the wonderful gospel message that Timothy was advised about and what to do. Believed on in the world. Believed among the Jewish world and in the Gentiles through the gospel message of hope. And received that in glory. The ultimate time when he comes back with his second coming to set up our inheritance, to set up the kingdom, to make Jerusalem glorious again through the wonderful King, our Lord and Saviour. And verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, but now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, speaking lies, etc., forbidding to marry, which God has created with thanksgiving. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. And then he gets on to the old wives. Reject, profane the old wives. Exercise yourself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life now and that which is to come. It's a faithful saying, a word of all acceptance, for to this end we both labour and suffer reproach. We trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially those who believe and are baptised into the faith of the Lord Jesus. I charge you, fight the good fight of faith, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously concerning you, 18 and 2. And by them you may wage the good warfare. And so, brothers and sisters, we think of the Psalms and walking through the valley of shadow. Yes, we mustn't be discouraged and think the future is bleak. The future, my dear brothers and sisters, is full of hope and full of promise. But we may not have this. We may not have the joy all the time. We may be discouraged at times. But brethren and sisters, you think of Jesus. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's the Dead Sea Scrolls words for Isaiah 53. See the travail of his soul. He shall have the light of life. So in obedience with the commandments of our Lord and Saviour now, brothers and sisters, we turn to the emblems and each had their own thoughts of Timothy in Lystra, of Timothy as the appointed pastor in Ephesus. Of the things that he did, how that the Apostle Paul encouraged his son in the faith, and how we have godliness, not godlessness,
like the Jews feel we wanted more and more and a bit more and a bit more greed. What we want to is to develop our characters as God wants us, in obedience to Christ's commandments, equipping ourselves as we are the athletes of God. John concludes the metaphor in the words when he says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that you heard from the beginning. Ye shall walk in it. People of the way. This is the way we walk, isn't it, my dear brothers and sisters? Yes, we walk in it. And we walk in that way that Paul has mentioned to Timothy. In the way that they were people of the way in the beginning, in the Acts of the Apostles. And that God, that godliness and reverence is now before us as we break bread and drink wine. May we be there in that gladsome day when the Lord shall be there to welcome us into his kingdom. You have done those things and you have practiced these things. And as Paul said, are not to me only, but to all that love his appearing. And we all love his appearing, my dear brothers and sisters. May we inherit the glory of Christ.
Thank you, Dave. Let's talk.